on the back of Sid the Kid Crosby's three assists last night, including a no-look pass to Nate McKinnon, including the ultimate neutral zone drop pass to Mitch Marner that led to the overtime winner. Canada opens up Four Nations face-off with a 4-3 victory over Sweden. Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, abbreviated version. Fastest hour in hockey about to begin right now. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz with you. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. All right. Everything you imagine, Sammy. I can only imagine what it was like in your household to ride the roller coaster of a Team Canada once again.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Just full on amazing. I will say I did have the emotion of feeling a bit robbed at times of how long we've gone without this. And I tried to bat back that feeling. So I wasn't, you know, feeling not a negative feeling in that time.
Yeah.
But having it just the spectacle and all the stuff we're going to get into, it's just been too long. And it just was an emotional night for everybody. And I can't imagine going into that being like, this is going to suck. And then the second that you see all those guys out there warming up being like, oh yeah, this is going to be the best thing ever. Yeah.
And the presentation that was capped by the great Mario Lemieux coming out on the ice.
Really cool. I mean, the whole thing was really cool. Like, I feel like hockey fans deserve that. You know, like you go through a lot. We've all gone through a lot from the pandemic and on, you know, going through no fans and a salary cap and all this negativity. It was just really fun. And I just thought so unbelievably cool that we got a McDavid to Crosby to McKinnon goal that like 1 minute into the game, it was just like, damn, it's really cool. I got texts from friends that were like not that thrilled about the event. We're like in.
And really, Chris Pronger yesterday kind of summed it up. He put any rest to the feeling of each player on Canada coming into this, the pride, the putting on the jersey, it all came back, mm-hmm. right? There was no signs of anybody coming in looking like this didn't matter.
No, it was funny. Like Sweden, I know it ends up being a close game and we're going to get into the game, but it was 17 minutes till they had a shot or something like that.
Four plus minutes left on the clock with no shot on goal.
We were texting each other and I forget. It was like, hey, Sweden hasn't done this, hasn't done that. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, have they had the puck for 5 seconds? Like Canada came out ready to play.
Well, I mean, you can imagine having the level of guys that you have with McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, and this is their first ever chance to play together at an international competition, like a best on best. And you mix that in with the atmosphere in the building, Mario Lemieux, that unbelievable ovation that he gets. He walks out there.
Mario's my guy.
Of course. And you pair that with the emotion, and then that the fact that they're three of the best hockey players on earth and that they're juiced up and that they're going to start.
Well,
and that's what you see in the first period. The other team didn't get to play.
That is the huge advantage we've had in this country over the course of 40 years, whether or not it's 72 Summit Series, and I know it kind of left ugly for Phil Esposito and Team Canada in Vancouver, mm-hmm. right? Getting run out of the building before they have to go over and save themselves.
Right.
But 76 Canada Cup, 87 Canada Cup, and you go into the 90s. Like, think about like every opponent that has to open up any tournament or any championship
in
game in that setting. It's you against the whole world, right? Yeah. The building, the fans, the media, the TV is all skewed towards Canada here. So I don't think it was any other situation that we haven't seen in 40 years where you're Sweden, you're Russia, you're the U.S. and Canada in this, in any type of environment, just weather the storm, man. The first 5 or 10 minutes, they must have felt like you're boxing Mike Tyson in his prime.
Standing out here, that's a great analogy. Standing out of Montreal, the Bell Center, the way, I mean, you hear players who, you know, who play there once in a while or rarely talk about the oohs and ahs from the crowd mm-hmm. who knows the game. And there mm-hmm. were some touches where McDavid would get it in the neutral zone. And audibly through, you know, at home, you could hear them be like, ah, you know, like you could feel the rise and fall of, you know, close attention. They were paying close attention.
I thought, and I'm jumping way ahead here, though, but in overtime, when anybody, like, they would fight and fight because it's such a possession, stupid game.
Soon
and
as
the
you get
second
possession
they got
back.
Possession, when you have the guys on your team that Team Canada does, when you get possession,
people are cheering like it's...
There's a pretty good chance you're going to get one shot in the net.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just... I don't love to give Montreal a ton of credit for everything as the bleeding heart Leaf guy that I am, but that atmosphere was elite. And they were into it. They got it. They rose to the moment. And sure, there were some tight you-know-what situations in that game where they're a little bit quiet, but any building would have been quiet.
Yeah.
The stakes were high. It's your native country. It was amazing.
We have a ton to get into, and specifically on a lot of subjects here, but just to kind of tee up the remaining hour here that we're on, we won't have a guest, so we'll just be the three of us predominantly, but you have a mini Sammy McKee mailbag for us.
Yeah, I kind of sent out a tweet just to be how people are feeling after that game, their thoughts, their overall takes from just their first best-on-best game in 8 years, so we'll have a few of those in the back half of the
we'll do that, yeah.
And we got piles of audio clips to listen to.
Kippers,
we're
going to
pick
Clippers?
It ourselves here. Yeah.
Kippers, Coopers, Clippers that I put in the
Coopers, Clippers, Clippers.
All right. Before we get into any specifics, let's go to a John Cooper Kipper Clipper overview of the game.
Clip 7.
Well, you never really know till you're in it. And I remember the first practice I went to with that under-23 team back in 2016, and I thought that was the fastest hockey I'd ever, you know, witnessed up close. Well, this just trumped it, and it was a lightning pace out there, and it, you know, that's why I have to give a testament again to the job our defensemen did to be able to keep up that pace and still perform. But I'm gonna say one thing, like, you know, there's some guys in this team play 10, 11 minutes that are used to playing 20. And when it got down the stretch and we shortened the bench a bit and then it goes to overtime and some guys aren't playing, they were the loudest guys on the bench. They were the one wheeling everybody and getting everybody going. And I thought, wow, this is a really short tournament, but I think we got a really close team. And it was pretty cool to be a part of.
Is he providing positive reinforcement for that attitude? Saying, I noticed that, that's important to us, we love that? Or is that just observation, do you think? A little both.
I think he knows that players read and listen, and yeah, maybe a little bit of both.
This is close. This is good. A couple things. Drew Doughty echoed that sentiment where he said that was the fastest hockey game he ever played in.
Yeah, but that also could have been the slowest game he's ever played in.
What do you mean?
I didn't think he was.
You didn't think he was great?
Very good. And that's okay.
Yeah,
it's all right. You've missed the whole season. But I thought he was by far their worst defenseman.
I thought he was really good offensively. I thought defensively, yeah,
the
definitely.
Gaps. The gaps, yeah. The speed, yeah. It's hard. I felt sorry for the guy. You're just trying to get your wits coming back off being the, yeah, off the whole season. And then you're on a Space Mountain ride.
Go ahead.
At Disneyland.
I was just going to say, I think it is worth noting that the game did turn at a certain point, and it's probably the Theodore injury where all of a sudden you had 5D who never have played together before, who are now, who's going different partners. Everything got a little shuffled. I thought Canada's D was fantastic. So my surprise for the game was Colton Parayko. I just thought he broke up a lot of plays. I know the numbers guys won't love it because his numbers weren't pretty, but I thought he was really good.
I did that when they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
When St. Louis did that, what, in 2019?
Yes.
Yes, he was like that guy.
Yeah, really good. I thought Josh Morrissey was excellent. Devin Taves was really good. Like,
Taves was really good, too,
jumping in. I do think that was a big part of the game, is that it took Canada's D a little while to figure out what was going on after the Theodore injury.
Not to get ahead, but, you know, Sanheim comes in now, mm-hmm, right? I like him, but I think there was two or three options I probably would have gone to before having him come in.
It's funny, having seen one game, when I sat down with McKee earlier today, he goes, kind of wish it was Tanev coming in.
Tanev?
Yeah. It's like, God, it would feel
Uyghur
a little better probably.
Or Montour for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were the three that I would have gone to before Sanheim.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think those guys have a lot of experience and you trust them to do one thing specifically, kind of defensively.
And you wonder, like, you look at the way the decor is laid out here. I put a clip in from today of Cooper talking. You can move past the Sanheim thing, but I think they maybe brought him just like experienced guy. We think you're going to be a big part of it at the Olympics. And now it's like, guess what?
You're in.
USA, Saturday night at the Bell Center. Like, it's a big ass, but we'll see. There's lots of other stuff to get to.
Do you want that on Shea Theodore and the D from Cooper?
Yeah, let's play that. Let's play the clip three.
Yeah, to be honest, Shea's out for the tournament. So that's a big blow. What a kid, and he only got to play 6 minutes, and it's heartbreaking for the kid. And he was the first one there at the door hugging everybody when we came off. And it's that's a tough one to swallow because you just know how much it means. But, you know, I guess hopefully in hindsight, he got to touch the ice and get some time in there. But it was, you know, for us, it was tough because you talk about the speed of that game and you have to fight through the last 50 minutes with five defensemen. That's a grind. They did a hell of a job.
That's true. I think we're burying leads, though, are we not?
Sid. Still good.
Next
topic.
Still good. Okay, let's go to John Cooper good on Sid.
Yes.
Kind of going to write a book on just my time around Sidney Crosby in this short little window I've had. I think if you were really listening what happened at the beginning of the game when everybody was announced, and that Mario Lemieux's roar aside, Sidney Crosby, I mean, the roof was coming off. And it's, you know, he's been a Pittsburgh Penguin his whole life. And that just shows you how much people care about him and respect him in this country. And I thought that was, you know, if I'm going to think about my top three or four moments of this, it'll be the ovation Sidney Crosby received from this, I mean, what a crowd. And, but just his demeanor on the bench that just says all the right things at the right time. And then you need a lift and team's pushing. He's the one that sets up the helper. And then you need a lift in overtime and he's the one that sets it up. And it's just, it's no coincidence his record of when he's wearing a Canadian jersey. It's not fluke. And he will go down as the greatest player to ever represent his country. If not, he's going to be on the Mount Rushmore for sure of people that have thrown the Canadian jersey on.
Love it. It's a long clip, but I had to play it all because Cooper's got away with words and couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, it's... He hit it. He's hit every high note. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't really slowed down since his golden goal in 2010. You know, it just follows him.
His game doesn't really change no matter the situation. The game state, you look at the clock, the score, the way he plays, he still kind of does the right things. And it's funny watching him switch from using raw tools as a younger Crosby might have done to deception. And I think the Stone goal is a perfect example of that, where he... Okay, he's off to the races, and he hesitates a step of the blue like maybe he won't go. And then he leans in again and takes the step in like he might cut in. Then
it's only after he's assessed everything. And if you go back and watch the Stone goal or the no-look pass to McKinnon or the setup to Mitch Marner, just maybe Hockey Night could revisit and just look at the amount of times he snaps his head to take a Polaroid.
A snapshot.
The guy's the best. He's the best guy at taking Polaroids.
Yeah.
He assesses everything. He looks. He knows exactly where everybody is. He must have looked six or seven times around him.
Oh, look at this.
Coming up
Dish
the ice.
City. Mm.
And that's where he is. It's not a no-look pass.
Right.
On the first goal. The look was there. It just happened a lot earlier before anybody noticed.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him... So great is there one,
there,
two,
look at
three,
that's a great example.
Four,
just
five,
taking pictures.
Six,
where is everyone?
Seven,
and
right?
He's driven everyone back.
And he knew Mitch Marner was coming up, and and Bob's your uncle. That's what he's so great at. And being 37 doesn't slow that down.
No. Really cool. It was just a really cerebral performance, and so long overdue since we've got to see Sid in that jersey, and to get a show like that to kick it all off was really cool.
It's, you know, you go into this and everybody's freaking out about the opening clip where he can't get the jersey over his shoulder, and everyone's like, Oh my God, you texted me.
Well, it's not ridiculous to be like, this guy can't put his own sweater on. Maybe
jerseys
he's really
tight.
Hurt.
Jerseys are tight. Wanted to help
yeah,
us.
Yeah, maybe.
Jersey was a little tight. He wanted to pull it over.
I didn't think twice when I
same,
saw that.
Same. The jersey's a little tight.
Okay, you're a bit of a conspiracy theory.
I would be the guy who would
you watch too much Netflix.
He hasn't played for weeks, and he couldn't put his kid on. But I don't think it's unreasonable to be like, hey.
I just think it's amazing that we're kind of expecting him to, you know, it's all the talk before this tournament is about his role as the leader mm-hmm. and the elder statesman. And the puck drops, he's the best forward.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just like, oh, no, I'm the guy that's going to win the game for you guys. I'm going to set up the opener. I'm going to biggest goal, set up the winner. He was just their best forward for a lot of that game.
You got a couple of sounds from Sid. Let's hear from clip one on the atmosphere. I just want to hear him.
On Sid? Yep. Sid, yep. Clip one from Sid.
Obviously, the ovation for Mario to start, that was pretty cool. And then just, you know, the crowd coming out for warm-up. Just the anticipation, you know, through the whole overtime. Seeing Nate and Connor pick the puck up and do their thing. And just, all that stuff. Just it was kind of a roller coaster, just the way the game went. But they were incredible, and it was a lot of fun to play in a game like that.
I think we will get to Mitch Marner and the OT winner. Unbelievable moment for Marner and, you know, Canadians to have that happen. But he mentioned MacKinnon and McDavid. Do those guys not seem like they should be in a league above whatever league they're in? Like the speed of the game, like their touches. The McDavid back check, he turns one over and then he just goes back and gets it. It's just like it doesn't seem fair to be able to play the game.
Wow, that's just where, especially over a 10-minute 3-on-3 is like, Sweden had no answer there for that type of speed.
And people are all over MacKinnon because he shot the puck like four times or whatever, but he was in great shooting
spots.
He was
in the slot.
Yeah. I do think the way it worked out that he had taken a couple shots.
Somebody's got to shoot.
And he's on that rush with McDavid and everyone's like, God, he shot it a couple times, but the guy takes the pass. Like he's got to take the shot. He was dying too, but just playing at a different speed than everyone else.
The first 8 minutes of that game, MacKinnon was out of this world.
Yeah.
Where
hits.
And shots. Same with and McDavid as well. They're just the intensity. And the McDavid thing, I was just ready to be like, been a good run as a Leaf fan. I guess I'm now an Oilers guy. Like, this guy is way too good. Yeah. I'm ready to trade it in.
But,
like,
but Nate still has that
it's a different
one
thing.
Element that McDavid doesn't have, and that I think Nate can still go through you.
Yeah. He's more physical.
And
bowling ball.
Wow.
Not bowling ball. I mean, McDavid's by no means passive, but you're right. MacKinnon's just a larger force.
Yeah. Not like it's the torque in his game.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect word.
If I can describe maybe the difference, the differential between the two is he's got more torque.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can bend steel, this guy, the way he plays.
I mean, he is on like 1-on-2s at times in traffic and taking crossovers.
Yeah.
He's making strides in traffic. Just like, stop me. Most people can't.
Mitch Marner.
Yay! There you go. Your boy. Your boy on the big stage fires one.
Was it you that texted me or
I tweeted
a thousand other people saying, okay, how much you got to pay him now?
I know. I said,
how much you got to pay him now?
It was me who sent you the tweet that said, live look at Kip, and it was the show me the money gif. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm poking fun.
Go ahead. Go tell everybody how wrong you've been over this, how long you've been wrong about this guy. Go ahead. It's your platform.
What I'll say, and I said this to Borny when I came in here, I have never, ever liked Mitch Marner like I like him today. And I think that's a perception, and that's what playing in these tournaments can do for guys' reputations in their cities.
Mm-hmm.
I have never watched a moment like that. I watched that clip of that goal, of that play, 100 times today. And the feeling I have towards Mitch with that goal is higher. I like him 10 times more today than I ever have.
But you've seen it 100 times as a Leaf, Sam.
It's different. It's different because like this is, I'm about to watch it for my 101st time. If you're watching on TV or on YouTube, it's a great shot, signature Mitch shot around the blocker through traffic. Because, listen, the perception around this guy has been the lack of big moment stuff. Whether it's fair or not, that's been the perception. So for him to come through in this moment, be at 3-on-3, which isn't real hockey, which is sometimes what you've said, I think that can actually propel him to greater heights.
Yeah, I think that's the hope, right?
That can help. You have every best player in the world pouring over the boards to tap you on the head and say, way to go, Marins, you did it. How can that not help?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
All right, let's go to John Cooper on Mitch Marner.
Clip one.
I don't know. If you're saying that, like, is that a confidence-building goal? That kid oozes confidence, so I thought it was a big-time player making a big-time play at a big-time moment, and that's why guys like him are on this team. He's fabulous.
Interesting comment.
Clip two. Play to clip two, and then we can talk about it.
When you're that size, you have to have something. You have to be unique at something. You have to be better than everybody else at something. And if you really watch, you know, that game, the plays he made in tight, the plays he made in traffic, and he's not the fastest kid on the ice. He doesn't have the hardest shot on the ice. Doesn't do a whole bunch of things that a lot of guys out there on both teams do better than him. But that's really hard to sit here and say, well, is there a better player? You know, he puts himself at that elite level, the way he thinks the game, the way he processes the game at such a high level and at such a high rate of speed. And that's why he's the player he is. And, you know, I've watched him close up. I've played against him and coached against him in playoff series, and I've watched what he can do. And, you know, there's not too many guys that can excel both as a power play player and a penalty killer and a 5-on-5 guy and 3-on-3. And, you know, Mitch can do it all. And just, I've watched this kid grow from when he was a young kid in pro hockey to what he is now, and just keeps getting better.
I'm really hoping Dara Ferris is on vacation. He's unplugged. He's not listening to anything. He's like, you know, I'm just going to unplug for 2 weeks.
And I didn't think he was that great last night. Right?
I didn't think either.
He got better as the game went along.
Too. I rewatched it today, and I feel the same way.
Again, you went from a certain style of play, including playing with Tavares and Matthews, and then you go on, like I said, Space Mountain, the roller coaster, and that can't be an easy thing to do. I think he's going to be even a lot better Saturday night.
Yeah.
Going against the U.S., but he did get a lot better. It's interesting, though, that I'm not sure how the question was phrased, but he said, do you mean that, you know...
The question was, like, what can a goal like that do for Mitch Marner?
Yeah, which kind of sets up the basic narrative about him. And then we heard from Kelly Rudy in the pregame. Kelly talked about... basically a guy that gets down on himself, right? This could be a good tournament for a guy that gets down on himself. And it's like, that's a different narrative than a one that says he's using with confidence, because a guy that gets down on himself doesn't have confidence. And it kind of sets up kind of like the whole kind of feel for Mitch Marner. Either you're a guy that really appreciates him like Cooper does, or the narrative that many have carried, including you, Sammy, where he's just not good enough. He's just not good enough, and he cracks under pressure, and he's no good in big moments. And it's like, not too many other guys in the league carry that big of a gap between, and I'm not saying Kelly's right or John Cooper's right. Yeah. I'm just saying that.
No, that's totally
true. It's
amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing the difference between the guy that loves everything he does and a guy that questions it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it
polarizing
is...
polarizing guy.
What's that?
Polarizing guy.
He is, but I think a lot of it is, you know, because of what Cooper's talking about, the way that Mitch plays, and I don't mean this to be condescending to anyone who was not a hockey player, but if you haven't played, it's tough to see all the things he does well. You know, it's tough to understand the little nuances and the positioning and the way he's reading and thinking the play. You know, not all people can see that. And his coach,
the overtime goal, like, go back and really take a look at it, because
it's, picks a stick at the side of the net in his own zone.
It's, but he starts out as the third man guy high, right? And then there's the 2-on-1 between Bratt and Nylander. And if you watch him play it, he's got the 10-2 going back and forth and back and forth. Bratt doesn't know what to do. He's like, at the end of the, right at the last second, he's like, I'm going to send it over to Willie.
Forces it.
And he forces a bad pass. Mm-hmm. And then if you watch Marner after the puck goes below the goal line, he actually picks Bratt. Mm-hmm. Like he lifts his stick, or he picks him.
Rubbed him out a little bit.
Rubs him out a little bit and allows Crosby now to go do his thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, does anybody notice that? Does anybody see that? Like, to me, that's the first highlight you show of the development of that play, mm-hmm. and how Marner did it 400 feet, 200 feet one way, 200 feet the other way.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that Cooper's talking about, that, to your point, I don't know how many people see that.
Yeah. And when it doesn't come through on the offensive side of things, you know, I think one of the things when people say Marner has struggled in the playoffs and in these big games, a lot of it is that he's hyper defensively conscious. He doesn't want to be the guy who lets someone in behind him.
No.
So he errs on the side of things defensively. So when it doesn't happen offensively,
that's right.
But I do think
he's also playing with a guy like Willie Nylander, who's the opposite.
Yeah.
That will cheat all day long.
But I think this is the thing, is that for Marner, I hope that this goal helps him recalibrate a bit and say, it's okay to get up there and do those things on the offensive side, because he can do that, put a game away, and people notice that.
But he's not playing with other people like this.
He's playing with Austin Matthews, the best scorer in the world.
But he's also playing with guys that cheat or take bad shots at bad angles. And he's overly cautious being defensive still for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they got other guys that aren't.
Okay.
That's my point.
That's fine. I think a lot of people would love to play with the guys he plays with, but yeah, this is good for him, and I hope it's a building point for him, and hopefully for Canada here.
I talked about this before the season even started, that what this tournament could do for the perceptions of the Leafs that are playing in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that last night was a huge moment for Mitch in terms of being, like, listen, there's still
a big moment, because if he doesn't shoot it in 3-on-3, it's like, there's no points.
There's still, I mean, yeah, we could be talking about how he didn't play well for 40 minutes of the game or whatever, but I really do think that helped his perception. And I said it from the start of the year that it could help, and it's great. It's a great moment. The Bell Center's cheering for him. But, like, why can't you enjoy it? Why does it have to be, like this big slight?
No, it's funny, because it's almost as if, like, you're waking up now to something new.
No, I'm not.
It's not. He's still the same guy. He's still the same player. Yeah. He's just going to do the same thing he's always done.
All the big overtime winners he scored for the Leafs, Kipper.
Yes, and Marner and Matthews and Nylander and all the rest of them.
For sure.
So tell me something. Tell me. No, and this is just a perception thing, right?
Yes.
This is the perception thing.
Yes.
Binnington doesn't come up with key saves at the end. They lose 3-2. He doesn't score the overtime. Yeah. You're crapping all over him.
Probably.
That's the fine line.
Yeah, that's hockey. That's what we do.
Right?
That's the business.
And but it's not necessarily like, it's not good enough, Sam, that you just get to do that. It's not, because...
But I think the opposite's true, Kip.
If he had better goaltending in the last 5 or 6 years in Toronto, then he would have been better to you. And it's like, that's out of his control. Mm. He doesn't have a Binnington to make a big save. He hasn't had Stolarz or Wall all this time. He's got Samsonov.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack Campbell.
Sorry, but not good enough. Mm. But you know what? Put the blame on four guys.
I'm not putting
them. All right. Anyways. It's fine.
I'm telling
it's
you,
okay.
I've never loved him like I love him today. Okay, you're the maddest you've ever been.
Go buy a jersey. Go buy a jersey.
I will not buy a jersey of someone who's younger than me.
All right.
I love that rule.
We got time for...
Binnington, we do.
Binnington, you know, I put out a tweet today and said, I don't know what they're going to do with him come Saturday night, because he wasn't great. but he did make some big saves down the stretch. I don't love the idea of launching Aiden Hill into his first game against USA on a Saturday night. Chris Pronger, our guest yesterday, responded to me on Twitter and said, basically, Binnington's net to lose. You know, that he played well enough, didn't, and also Cooper said that it's not going to be a rotation in his mind. So I think we're going to get Binnington Saturday night again.
Can we play clip five, please, Cooper?
We spoke, and when I, you know, told him he was going to start tonight, and we just talked about, you know, playing in big moments and big games, and he's done it all. And even in his cup run, he had to go on the road to win game seven. And but in the end, I said, you're gonna have a team that's gonna be playing hard in front of you. Just make the saves that you're supposed to make. Maybe slide in one that you're not. And that's what he did. And, you know, when you need the big save in overtime, he made it and gave us a chance to win, and we did.
Not a snowball's chance that he's pulling him out Saturday night.
No.
Completely agree.
It's a non-issue.
Completely agree.
You know, and I have seen people particularly critical of the Kempe goal. Was that the one, was it Doughty who was in deep on that one? And it's like, that guy shoots it almost as well as anyone in the league not named Matthews. Yeah. He's in the hash marks, you know, or just above them. I know it goes through him and he should save it, but it's not the worst goal. The Eriksson Ek one, what are you supposed to do?
Just
the flutter puck from the half boards is a weird one. Kind of a screen. Not perfect, but...
Cooper just said it. Just make the ones you're supposed to make. He does not have to steal you games.
No.
If this team forces that guy to steal games, then this isn't the team we thought it was.
No.
And that's it. Like, he does not have to win it, and he can... This lineup should be good enough, even if he give up a bad goal, that they should be able to overcome it.
It's funny, like, thinking going into this that, you know, all these guys might get a chance, and we'll see how everyone plays in the game or whatever, but the tournament is so short, and I'm sure there were some nerves, and I didn't love that first goal, Sammy, that he let in, but it's like... Okay, he's been in it now. That's as loud as it gets, as nervous as it in an OT. He didn't look nervous. He made some big saves. I think you're going to get a better version of him. I don't like the idea of saying, here's the Americans to Aiden Hill. So
the best word
we're giving it to Binner.
Yeah, the best word I can say about him is kind of a gamer, you know, where...
Confident.
Yeah, I hated that Kempe goal, and I really feel like that flipped the whole game in terms of just the way the game felt. Canada was in control. That goal goes in, it's 3-2. Everybody starts to tighten up a little bit. The building tightens up a little bit. But he was brilliant after they tied the game. Like, he made multiple key saves, including those ones in overtime. But at the end of the third period, I don't know who it was that shot it from the left side of the ice through a screen. Seeing eye shot, he gets his pad out. Like, it's not an enjoyable experience having him in the net at all. And I'm not going to be like, yeah, Aiden Hill. If it was Logan Thompson they were putting in, it'd be a different story. But of the options here... You got to stick
with
it.
No game is over.
He needed to lose for them to
consider it.
It was just that simple. He found a way to make one bigger save to win a hockey game, and that's good enough. There's no time to feel out two goalies.
No. I have lots more thoughts on lots more topics. We should get in a break before.
Yeah, let's go. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does that work for you?
It works. And then we got a little mini McKee's mailbag.
Got a few, but I think if he's got still thoughts, we don't have to force him in there. But if you got some thoughts, we'll go to it.
We'll get to break, and when we return, more Four Nations Face-Off talk on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Annis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A reminder, Sour Real Kipper brought to you by Bet365. All right, Sammy, what do you have for us?
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And if you liked that last night, get to do it again tonight.
Yay.
I mean, it's not quite as good as Canada-Sweden, I wouldn't say, but USA-Finland tonight. Finland... Big time underdogs, as you would expect, at the Bell Center, plus 310 underdogs. USA minus 390 on the money line, expecting a big U.S. win. I would imagine that this one just has a funny feeling to me. I think the States will win, but I don't think plus 310 is a awful number if you're thinking of an upset.
I think you could probably take Finland plus a goal and a half or something.
Plus a goal and a half is plus 125. So I think they have the ability. They have enough good players to keep this baby close.
Barkov, Rantanen, and Lekkonen.
Yep. Down the middle, yeah.
No, that's the line. That's their first
Aho
line.
On their team.
In the NHL has scored more since December 4th than Lekkonen. Most goals.
I think it's a really good line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Now, is Barkov going against Eichel or Matthews tonight?
Oh, I mean, he put
Matthews, Hughes, probably.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I definitely think they have the potential to keep it close. And then if it's a close game, it gets a little tense. Who knows? You can do worse than plus 310. And I think Auston Matthews will score tonight. So plus 140 on an anytime goal for Auston Matthews.
Last minute of the game, Kyle Connor, Jack Eichel, Matthew Tkachuk, or Jake Gensel, Auston Matthews, and Jack Hughes. What line do you put out?
You're probably doing some mix and match, right? You get to put out four forward, some sort of...
Kyle O'Connor.
Connor's there.
Yeah.
Right?
I would go Connor, Tkachuk, Matthews probably if I had to get Tkachuk in the net front with the... God, Saturday night's going to be so good.
Sammy, we got a game tonight.
Anyways, stay focused. That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Finland down the middle, pretty good. Aho, Lundell, Barkov, like good defensive. They're good.
Just don't look at the decor.
You don't like Jukka Harju and Olli Maatta? No. Nicholas Mattanpalo?
Whom?
Yep. That sounds right.
So what were your thoughts that you had before we were going to break?
Now, the NHLPA didn't want to take, or the NHL either, didn't want to take a bunch of extra guys, have them sitting around, right? Skip this two-week break so they could watch and not get in. I got to believe everyone's getting in, right? Sam Bennett's going to play. They're not going to have Bennett sit in the press box for Saturday night. So who's Bennett in for is my question.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second, to be honest with you. I think that there's a possibility he could not play, but again, a more of a U.S. feel. Why wouldn't you want to put him in? But I do believe that there's a possibility that someone in this tournament's not going to get in.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe. You have to give up the time, and I mean, maybe if you're talking about like Finland's extra D or something,
participation kind of ribbons right now, and I don't like that feeling at all.
So, yeah, fair enough.
Konechny played 10 minutes and 20 seconds. He was a dash two.
Yeah.
Well, the whole Cirelli and Konechny and Hagel, they were minus two, were they not?
They were.
Yeah. But more than that, before the Konechny fall down on the faceoff, I text you guys, Konechny will be out next game. He just a little lost. All over the ice, like, you know, couldn't figure out what wing he was playing sometimes.
Felt like a big moment for him.
Yeah, a couple of dashes, falls on the draw, and they give one up, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, I got to believe he's coming out. That's just my two cents on who it would be if I were coaching.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure it's an automatic, but no. I think it's fair.
And if you're going in, I guess if you're going in against the States and the way that game's probably going to unfold, maybe you want Konechny's sort of nastiness and his little bit of grittiness and his ability to get under other people's skin. So you can put the greatest power play of all time out there for a couple more times, more than 10 seconds.
Yeah. Love Hagel, by the way. Hagel does that.
But you want Bennett's physicality and size in there against the States. You look at that lineup, like, I feel like that's the game that he gets in for.
So only other note then for me is just, how do you guys feel about the Shea Theodore injury? Obviously no one's like, great, it's awesome, I love it. But, you know, you see people tweeting stuff like, you know, how do you think the teams feel about this? And is this going to dampen people's excitement?
Oh, I don't think it'll dampen excitement, but it may factor into whether or not a week from now we're talking about the right decision on a seventh defenseman.
Buddy, when Vegas LTIRs Theodore, maybe Vegas fans will like it a little bit more.
No, he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
They said week to week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've done some chicanery before. Wouldn't be the first time.
It's only 8 weeks till playoffs.
I do think that's a big blow for Team Canada in terms of...
Yeah. Sanheim to Theodore is a big swing.
Yeah. I mean, you have... Sanheim's there's the injury there.
Right hand. Crunch is a... Crumpled up underneath.
Wrist.
Yeah. you look at Cale Makar, who is probably the best puck mover in the world. Mm-hmm. So you have him on your top pair. And I thought him and Doughty were really starting to kind of look good together. They were snapping it around a little bit. He can really break the puck out, Shea Theodore. Mm-hmm. And when he's not there, you know, Parayko's not necessarily going to snap it out as much. Doughty's not snapping it out. Sanheim.
Parayko like got a hard time for the icing last night. That's a mental, physical, not a mental mistake.
Just to continue the Leaf flavor of our national hour here. God, he'd look good in blue and white, Parayko.
I think a lot of fan bases looking at Parayko going, can we get one of those?
God, he's a...
Two or three weeks ago, Doug Armstrong just said, don't call me about Parayko.
Did he?
I don't know what's changed, if anything's changed at all, but that guy was earlier in the season an untouchable for Doug Armstrong, and you can see why.
Yeah, he's just so long. You know, like I looked at the numbers, and they weren't great and all that, but there's so many times where I was like, oh, God, and Pareko's just like, go gadget stick, it's in the corner. Body's wrapped up, breaks it out. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, he's
really, really good.
You understand why he's there.
Yeah.
Couple questions?
Shall we? Let's do it.
All right. This is from Ethan, member of the Passion Zone on Twitter.
Yeah, President Sammy McKee.
It seemed like John Cooper was rolling out Hagel-Cirelli every other shift while also rotating in point. As the tournament goes on, do you think John Cooper will keep this up when Canada needs a goal? How do you not default to 87-29-97? Well, love the show, guys.
87 didn't get a shift in overtime until after those guys went on the ice.
Is that right?
I think.
In overtime, it was started Marner and McDavid.
Yes.
And then it went to McKinnon and Stone. Was Stone out there for a little bit? And then it was Sid. And
then it was Sid?
I think, or maybe they went back.
I think Tampa guys came out, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I will say,
could be wrong.
Sammy, at one point last night, you didn't love that they were throwing the Tampa guys together. But late in a game like that, I thought they're really good two-way forwards who are familiar with each other. I didn't find that any sort of, coach's dad stuff where he's, playing favoritism. Who played? Cirelli played 12 minutes?
Yeah,
that's hardly favoritism. Hagel, 15,
And how about Braden Point scooting down the ice and then just laying a pillow.
Braden Point is not going to play.
He played 14-18 last night.
14-18 per game in this tournament. He's going to end up with bigger numbers. I'm curious to see how that works out. Couple thoughts.
But it's easy to say that.
Yeah.
But where?
Well, I want to have that thought.
Whose minutes are you taking out?
I don't want you to yell at me.
What's that?
Because Reinhardt, I thought, didn't have his best night. I thought he forechecked well.
Oh, my God, I think he's so smart.
He's so smart. He's a great player.
Elite defensively.
Yeah.
So smart.
He was just okay for me.
Yes, okay.
And then Marner and McDavid, to me, are both puck carriers. They both hang onto the puck, control the play.
Both of them were the top forwards in ice time.
Yeah.
I think Marner was only 20 seconds behind McDavid.
Yeah.
He was.
So I don't know if they work for me. And that doesn't mean, I'm not saying put Marner in the third.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I wonder if there's some configuring that happens to have the guys who have the puck a lot and play a lot on different units. I don't know. Their line at 5-on-5 for me, most of the danger came from McDavid being fast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see if they do a shuffle or not heading into Saturday night.
It's funny how long it took Cooper to be... Can we just maybe get McKinnon, McDavid, and McCarr on the ice together in 3-on-3? Do we have to wait three shifts for this? Can we just start with that? Marner's having an unbelievable, he's been one of the guys you're going to. But let's just start with that. Yeah. And they had a million chances and the drop passes and just those two together. It's unbelievable. So, it was really, really good stuff. this is probably the last time that Mitch and Brad will get a cheer in the Bell Center. What'd you think of the reception for Willie and Matthews?
I think probably appropriate for Canada right now.
Yeah. Matthews really got booed. You know, he's the worst things. He's a Leaf and he's an American captain. I mean, he's the bad guy there, which is he smiled, eh? He was like, all right, we're doing this.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to lean into that a bit.
I'm interested tonight to see what he looks like tonight because arguably, he's having the worst season of his career. Mm. Outside of the injury, there has been a level of inconsistency in his game. McDavid looked like McDavid. McKinnon looked like McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Can Matthews look like Matthews that you're accustomed to seeing?
Yeah.
Tonight, as early as tonight.
Yeah, great question. You know, those two guys do it so differently in that they do it with the puck with speed. Matthews kind of has to find pockets a little bit more. Who's he playing with?
Oh, but Hughes. But there's a level of intensity mm-hmm. that is missing out of Matthews that when you watch McDavid and MacKinnon last night, those guys played with a chip
hard
on their shoulder.
You could tell from the first two shifts. Okay. It's like, oh, these guys want to be here. They want
this.
They're
not to be denied last night that there's no choice. We're coming out here, and we're going to leave it out on the ice.
But, Kip, Matthews doesn't have that. He doesn't play like them. Like, no one else in the league plays like them.
At one time, because you two called him the second-best player in the world.
No, he had the second-best season in the world. Absolutely. He had the best season in the world.
Wasn't the best season in the world.
You're
it
wrong,
was the
buddy.
Second-best player
you're
in the world.
You're wrong. I said he was the best player. contraire, my friend.
I'm saying he doesn't play like them. I'm not saying he plays worse than them. But it's a different style.
But whatever version that he played, it should surface tonight
for
the U.S. team to have a statement like the other top players had.
He doesn't do it. Like, those guys didn't. Like, McDavid had one assist, a second assist in the game, but he controls the play with his feet and with rushes, and that's not Matthews' game. So, yeah, we'll see if he looks good or bad or otherwise, but it's tough to look like those guys because no one else does.
This is from Bob Smith on Twitter. Definitely his real name, Bob Smith.
For sure.
Can't help but feel like the lack of best-on-best tournaments in the last 10 years has hurt guys like Matthews and Marner in missing out on opportunities to learn from the great leaders at these type of tournaments and bring them back to the club. Thoughts on that?
They've had Thornton and Spezza and Marleau and all these guys come in, and Tavares.
We're in first place.
Yeah, fair enough. But, I mean, I don't think...
You just named everybody that's never won before.
Yeah. If you don't have it by now, you know what it's supposed to be. What's Marner, 27, 28?
You think there's something? Because I think there's something to that.
I think the answer is yes, definitely, that there's something to it. At this point of their careers, it's a little late. You want to get those guys in front of them when they're 21.
Yeah.
And 22, and then let them take over at 23, 24, 25.
Which
they're
27
now.
Yeah, what's so hard about that is, like, when teams are bad and then they get good players, it's like what Buffalo did. They're like, here's the money, here's the team, here's the captaincy, and then they don't have anyone to sort of bring them along, and it doesn't necessarily work out. So that's a hard thing about handing it to guys before they've earned
it. But you also handed it to a very inexperienced general manager
and
Kyle Dubas.
And coach.
Like, how would he know? Mm-hmm. How would Kyle Dubas know this? Sault Ste. Marie would have taught him that?
Yeah, but I mean, like, he's not the one, like, if you're comparing Kyle Dubas to going and playing in the Olympics with Sidney Crosby, it's two different things.
No, we're talking about having proper mentors in situations where you can pass the torch. And to JB's point, when you're 21, 22 and they hand you the world, and all of a sudden you've skipped a very important part of development.
Mm-hmm. A couple of these are just how robbed everybody feels of not having best on best for 8 years. And I kind of opened up with that, but you know, just seeing everything last night and seeing all those guys together and seeing the intensity in the game and seeing everything. It's a huge lost 8 years. You think about all the players that could have played.
Sid the best player, best Canadian player ever. And he hasn't played for
eight years.
So is everybody screaming for 10 minutes now in overtime?
Yes. Also, they're screaming for the point, the way they did the points.
So glad you mentioned that. It makes so much sense, and I don't feel like the players are as aware of it as they need to be, that there should be a press at the end of regulation to get that extra point. I thought both teams were like, let's get a point, and they kind of let it go to OT. Canada wins. They only get 2 points. It's better to win in regulation, and it should be. It should be worth more.
A two-point win really raises the stakes for Saturday night, too. It really does.
Pretty awesome.
Can't wait.
Wow.
Oh, it's over?
It's over. Ah. They're playing our song right now. All right, our thanks to no one.
My thanks to you.
Except
Kippy.
You two.
Yeah, you, buddy.
Still love you, Sammy.
Oh, I love you more, buddy.
All right. Team USA, Team Finland tonight, 8 p.m. Puck drop. Don't change that channel. Just leave it on Sportsnet all night long. Enjoy the game, everybody. We're off the rails Friday with Doug McLean. We will track him down. And
the Leafs line. 416-413-4141.
Canada this time.
Oh, Gator time.